I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, for our scripture reading. And I want to bring you the message that I feel that God has laid on our heart. And I want you to pray that God would move and just give liberty. And I want to read just, two or three verses. And then I want to turn to the book of Mark and read a few verses in chapter 1. All right, here in chapter 3 of Revelation, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Now get that last verse. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." And then in Mark chapter 1, I want to read here and give this more of a spiritual application for us today and apply that we might see. And God used illustrations and use it as an illustration here that we might see the importance. And I want to talk to you on this thought, mending the thin places in our lives and in the church. Mending the thin places. And tonight, we're going to have revival. We're going to have to mend the thin places. Let God mend them. And here in verse 13, let's read 14. "After that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets." Now, I'm going to read that right there, and mending their nets. Now, I want to sort of type it out tonight, and get the picture, and try to get over to you the importance of being made whole with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, the Bible says that Jesus came to the pool there, and he saw the sick and the maimed and the halt, and he come up to this one, and he said, "Would you like to feel a little better?" Is that what he said? Would you like to just sort of get where you can stir around a little bit? No, beloved, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" That's what we got to get in our mind and heart. This week is come clean with God and be made whole and totally surrendered unto the Lord, that our wills might be in fellowship with him. And beloved, tonight I want you to see the picture that I'm mending the thin places in our lives. Look at the men, the fishermen. They've been out fishing, and they somehow had either snagged a hole in a net, or they drug it so much that a hole had come in it. They'd come to shore, and they'd sit down in their own ship and began to mend the thin places, and began to make it whole again. Beloved, look at that net. It wasn't just one string, but it was a lot of interwoven strings, interwoven with each other, in order that it might work together and bring the fish in. And beloved, tonight, to me, I like to type that out. They're illustrated as a church, interwoven with each other in fellowship, that we might cast a net in our community, and that fish might be brought in, that they might be saved by the grace of God. But I want you to notice, they developed a hole, their thin place in the net. Now you know and I know, that every fish that you've carried out fishing, that if you hit a fish in a net, he would find tonight. I don't know this church. I don't know a thing about you folks. But if there are thin places in your life, and there are thin places in this church, beloved, don't you think the world don't see it, and they find excuse and a reason to stay away and not come here. Their mind is on their hole. They don't care about the net if they can find the hole in the net. They don't care about your righteousness. Brother, they want, the world is looking for fault. They're looking to look at Jesus. They try to find a thin place in his life. But praise God, they can find one. Amen. And the Bible said, for little epistles are read of all men. Now, wouldn't they have been foolish to go out and try to fish with that hole in the net? Brother, you know, and I know, they wouldn't caught no fish. They called all day and caught nothing. And I want to say tonight, beloved, there's a me, a church, I've torn all week, I'm dragging in and dragging out, with thin places in their life. They know it. They know it. And yet they don't catch nothing all week long. Oh, tonight, friends, I pray that God will show you where you're at. Friends, it is in your part of the net, in your part of the church, where that thin place is tonight. Now, friend, there was a good thread in that net. They would throw it away. The whole thing wouldn't wear out. It was just a thin place, a hole that come in it. Now, I want to say tonight, beloved, that wasn't a thin place in Maranatha Baptist Church. Your dear pastor would have called for evangelists come in. The Bible says that he gives some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, that we all come in the unity of the faith, that we not be blown about by every wind and doctrine. But thank God we have performed what we was left here for, and that's to catch men and to glorify the Lord, to bring forth fruit. Beloved, tonight I will tell you, friends, them that was waiting for them to bring them fish in would have been disappointed if they went out there with a hole in the net. But thank God they had some good sense. They sat down and said, we're not going back out until we get it mended. Wouldn't that be a blessing tonight, dear pastor, if our members would get their lives mended? So I'm quit playing church. I'm quit going on pretending. I'm going to get that thin place in my life. Fixed up. You say, preacher, what other thing? I'll get to them back there. Just give me time. Now look at them. They weren't fussing about it. They weren't arguing. Well, if you'd done this, we wouldn't have snagged it. Or if you hadn't got tired and let down, we wouldn't have drug it and worried out. They weren't blaming. They was claiming. Thank God I would have gone tonight that the church would quit blaming and start claiming. Amen. We're like old Daddy Adam, just blaming somebody for everything that we're short in. Every time we come short, we blame somebody else. Well, let's quit cursing the dark and light the candle. Amen. Tonight, beloved, they sat down and they was working together. And friends, they come to the very point, to the very place where the net need mending. They didn't hold it up and say, I don't see nothing wrong with it, with a big old hole in it. Amen. But brother, they mended it. Oh, listen tonight. Virgil Garner, what do you see? When I hold up that, tell me quick, what do you see? A handkerchief. Handkerchief. You don't see no hole in that handkerchief. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you, I hold it up while you see. Handkerchief. But I want you to look here tonight. Listen. My wife said, well, I'll quit doing this. Listen now, what you see. What you see. You see the hole. That's what catches. What are you looking at, brother? You're looking at the hole. And folks, that's exactly what happened to this church. Your church, everybody else's church. When you read the book of Corinthians, you look at the hole in the church.
Amen.
You look at the place where they need to be mended. Amen. You don't look at the message that the Corinth's preaching. You don't hear the gospel But Paul was so burdened to get out when he said that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. It's the power of God unto them that believe it. Amen. To the Jew first. And so forth. They weren't hearing that. They was looking back whole. Amen. Hey, listen. You ask somebody today, how's so-and-so church doing? Well, I guess you know they had trouble. They're having trouble. Amen. Or did you hear about this in the church? Did you hear about the superintendent running off? Did you hear about the piano player? Did you hear about deacon so-and-so getting puffed? There's a hole in it. Brother, we need to get the thin places and mend it in our lives.
Amen.
Brother, tonight, that's what revival is about.
Yes,
bring us reunited. But I want to tell you, when a faith was united, that net interwoven, by that time I'd go to the book of Ephesians and show you how that we were one body and every joint fitly joined together. Amen. Supplying the need of that other joint. And praise God with the strength of all my brother. They could bring in the nets. It didn't take all of them tearing up and breaking loose and my friend getting thin. Just took three or four times to get in a thin place in their life. I was in a meeting some time ago and there was three or four in the church. There was a thin place in their life. And they was giving the pastor, I mean, they was giving him fits. And friends, Saturday night, he called me weeping and said, Brother Roy, they booted me out Wednesday night. What am I talking about? When I think about church now, preacher, I don't think about them singing the songs of Zion. I don't think about him right now preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But I think about them booting that man of God out. Think about the opportunity they had in that revival to mend the thin places. Friends, I want to say tonight, it's imperative that we mend the thin places in the local assembly. And the only way we can do that is to mend them in our own lives.
Amen.
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 Friends, you say, preacher, what are some of the thin places? Supposing they're going out there that net. And I'm standing on the shore, and me and Brother Virgil and Brother Foster, and they throw that big old net out. And we look at each other. We say, I don't know much about fishing, but are they going to fish for that? We just shake our heads and say, how foolish. Huh? Oh, I would to God tonight that we'd be honest as Ahab was. Oh, Ahab, brother, how all disguised up and thought he was hid from God. But there's a little man rose up in a venture and let go and got him in the side. Brother, he didn't say, come on, let's go. I'm still fighting. He said, pull me out of battle, for I'm wounded. Amen. He said, I got to get fixed up a little bit. I'm not going to continue to fight. And some of you here tonight, it may be discouragement in your heart. Amen. That's got you so down. That you're just not fishing. You're so discouraged. You're just dragging bottom. And that's what brings the thin places in your life, is that dragging. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, Satan knows how to snag you when you're dragging bottom. Amen. Brother, oh, there's strength in the Lord. Our choir church sings it pretty often. And I'll never hear it, but Lord, don't lift me up. There is strength in the Lord. Thank God that's Bible tonight. And friends, listen, are you discouraged? You say, preacher, you just don't know what I've been doing. I don't have to know. I know God's grace sufficient to mend your life. I know tonight, thank God, He's able to bring you up once again. And praise God, put a song in your heart and praise in your mouth. And brother, put a song in your heart and establish your going. Tonight His grace is sufficient. In Him we live and move and have our being. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank God tonight, beloved, if you're discouraged, brother, that's Satan trying to discourage you. Somewhere you've missed claiming the promises of God. You failed to fight in the Word. Your heart's got down. Somebody said, preacher, I'm down and out. Well, I get down, but I ain't never got out. Amen. He said, though you fall, He'll not be left alone. Amen. He'll be there to lift you up. Praise God. For we need, my friend, to get that net of discouragement mended.
Amen.
that thin place. And then we need that net mended. It's a thin place in fervency in our lives. There's no fervency. Why, y'all saddest looking bunch I've seen in a long time. Y'all look so sad. I mean, has somebody whooped you today or stole you in the car or something? I mean, we're saved. We're saved, girls. I mean, we're born again. We're children of God. We're going to heaven any minute. Amen, brother. Listen, the early church, when you study the early church, thank God they had a spirit like this. Oh, God. Amen. But now that it's this little ritual we pray. We need to regain that. Oh, God. Oh, Asa cried out, oh, God. Rachel cried out, give me children. As I die. Jeremiah said, that my head was watered. And my eyes were sound in the tears. Then I'd cry day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Paul said, I failed not to win you for the space of 3 years, night and day with tears. God, we've lost the spirit of our old God in our souls tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I go to fellowships. You go to fellowship. You go to fellowship. I remember a time when the preachers got around. Oh, brother. I mean, that spirit of oh God, do something. Listen, Isaiah 64, that thou would rend the heavens, that thou would come down. Folks, it ain't your singing, it ain't my preaching, but it's the touch of God that we need. It's the presence of God. What prophet is there in Jerusalem if we see not the King's face? Folks, there's no optimism about us anymore. We're not optimistic. Amen. I mean, we're pessimists. Amen. Yes. Brother, I'm telling you, people got worse a bore and a burden to come to church. Amen. While we was talking, brother, Joe was talking. And it ain't the person I've heard say it. I've even just felt it sometime myself. They were just about a burden. You get revival meetings, preacher. And they just won't pray. And they won't surrender. They won't repent. And you just almost dread going. Ain't that right? But all of you will just get in there. And just say, preacher, you're helping me. You're helping me, preacher. And I'm getting close to it. While you stay in fight, praise God, until you come bowling. Amen. I want to say tonight, but there, listen, we're not optimistic about this thing. Where is that spirit like David's day? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Where is that spirit? Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thank God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We come and fall down. Just so tired. I think we come to church to rest sometimes. Physically, amen, instead of spiritually. Because of the air condition, amen. I'm not being mean, but my heart cries out. God, give us revival again. We just find we got an excuse for every little thing that comes along. We can justify ourselves. Just like the three little boys walking down the street eating apple, one of them was. One of them said, give me a bite. He said, would again ask me. The other said, I didn't ask you. He said, no, I know you don't want none. You see, we get out everything that we want to get out of. But I want to tell you, still cries, give me a man who will go for me. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee.
Glory. Amen, brother.
Oh, folks, God wants us to be a happy people. They say, preacher, you just believe in a lot of shouting. Well, God, I'd rather have it shouting than having a silent prayer thing. Amen. I mean that. I'm not trying to work up something. But praise God, where there's love, there's emotions. Amen. There's joy and there's peace and there's happiness. There's a hallelujah to count. It ain't because you ought to say it. Huh? Remember, girls, when you first got married, that's God about homecoming time. You got all fixed up and prettied up for that husband. It wasn't because he's expecting you to. He's wanting to. He's wanting some sugar. Amen? You're wanting some sugar. You're wanting him to caress you. You're wanting his love. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, Brother Henry, I still, starting on my 33rd year, I still want his love. I still want the better love on me. I still want his presence. If I knew God wouldn't come this week at all, I'd say, Brother Henry, let me go home. I love you. But now, listen, listen. I always say it's his presence that we need tonight. And when he comes, he'll make us optimistic.
Amen.
Oh, pessimist. You know what pessimist is? Huh? Old fella had a flat tire out in the country. Way out there, and way in the night, didn't have no jack. He looked around and said, what in the world am I going to do? So the freeze death out here. It's all light, Wilton Hill. And he said, said, that's my only hope. Said, I guess I'd better go up there. He started and walked along again, talked to himself. He said, he probably ain't got no jack himself. Walked on a little farther. He said, if he's got one, it's probably broke. Went on a little farther, and he said, if it ain't broke, said he's got it long down. Went on, got to the door, knocked the door, the fellow comes, said, yes. And he said, forget about it. He wouldn't let me have it no way. Amen. And that's where we treat God sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we don't come looking for nothing. We're living on secondhand faith, really.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say according to Abraham's faith.
No.
He said according to your faith.
Amen.
So, friends, listen. We need that spirit of optimism. Amen. We need to regain that. I mean, brother, when we get that thin place, praise God. I remember over here just